I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. The Eugene Symphony welcomes the second of its three finalists to become the symphony's next conductor and music director. Ryan McAdams will conduct the Eugene Symphony on Thursday, January 26th at the Holt Center in a program that includes Mozart's overture to Don Giovanni, Samuel Barber's piano concerto, and Brahms' Symphony No. 1. He'll also have a full community engagement schedule for the week. Thanks for coming into KLCC, Ryan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, what is it about the Eugene Symphony in this position that inspired you to apply?
Well, I think, first of all, outside of Eugene, the Eugene Symphony is a real buzzword. It's a byword for a place where conductors can come to define themselves. It's been a place where extraordinary conductors have launched their careers. And it's a place where the community and the organization itself know exactly what it's looking for. And so the thing that I think most inspired me and has continued to inspire me as I get to know the orchestra and the community better is that the Eugene Symphony is an organization that is asking itself the most important questions about the role of an orchestra in society. It's an organization that is in almost a continual process of assessment and reassessment. Where were we 5 years ago? Where was the community 5 years ago? Who do we need to be now to have the greatest amount of impact, the greatest amount of collaboration and potential? How can we unite the community and saturate it with what the orchestra provides?
So what do you see as the conductor's role within that effort?
Well, I make a distinction between the role of conductor and the role of music director. A conductor is someone who has the responsibility to maintain and improve the health and artistic quality of an ensemble. And this orchestra is already quite an extraordinary collection of musicians that play together absolutely brilliantly, that is capable of making profound and meaningful music with almost any genre, with almost any century or age of music. And the potential to further that and develop it into any corner of the repertoire is limitless. But a music director is a lot more jobs. And I became a music director and I became a conductor primarily because it was a job that I realized took every part of me. To be a music director is to be a musician, it's to be an educator, it's to be an evangelist and a politician and a curator. Curation is my favorite art form in the world. The idea of figuring out how do pieces and pieces of music or pieces of art speak to each other? How do we put pieces on a program that will cross-pollinate each other and open up dialogue in a listener's mind about what composers are wrestling with? What is this art trying to accomplish? How does it impact me? How does it feel relevant to the life that I'm leading? So the fact that the Eugene Symphony is so clear that they're looking for a music director that can play all of these roles with enthusiasm and with passion and creativity, it's an enormously attractive place to be.
You have background in operatic styles, contemporary music, classical symphony repertoire. What would be the range, then, that you would bring to this symphony's repertoire?
Well, I've been very lucky the last few years in my career. I've been able to maintain a pretty equal footing in the standard symphonic tradition, the operatic repertoire. My mother was an opera singer, and my father was a theater director, and I grew up in an opera house, and opera was my first love. And I tend to think of almost everything that I do in terms of theatrical presentation, one way or the other. What is the narrative of the evening? What's the story we're trying to tell? And I'm also lucky to work with a lot of contemporary music organizations and work with a lot of the best young composers in the world. And I think that part of the reason I did all of that was so that I could have as large a tool bag with me when I walked into a community, when it was time for me to focus my attention and efforts on a place. I could go in and say, what does the community need? What is the community going to respond to? And I would have the right answers, the right repertoire, the right musicians, the right soloists to be able to engage in a very specific dialogue with the community and with the orchestra, to know what they need and be able to provide it. So what I would say is that anywhere I go, there's going to be a wide variety of repertoire that I bring because I care passionately about every part of the repertoire.
And in this first concert, You have chosen Brahms's Symphony No. 1 to go with Mozart's Don Giovanni and Samuel Barber's Piano Concerto. Why that particular choice?
What I wanted more than anything else was to pick a piece that the orchestra could use to show me who they are as clearly as possible. Brahms requires not only immense technical concentration, but the deepest kind of emotional commitment. Because the piece is so familiar to so many people in the orchestra, it would breed confidence among the musicians to be able to demonstrate to me who they were, the breadth of their personality, the breadth of their interpretive power. I wanted a piece that people loved to play, and so that I know that they would want to give everything they had to this piece that almost every musician loves, because the extraordinary thing about Brahms is he was such a, for all of his intense beauty and romanticism, he was a classicist. I don't think there was ever a symphonic composer who had as much training and knowledge of early music and the way, the fundamental way in which musical lines are built and put together. So when you break apart a Brahms symphony, what you find is that there isn't a single line, even the simplest accompaniment figure buried into the texture. There is not one line that isn't beautiful, that is not giving the player who is bringing it into the world something to deeply commit to and wrestle with and commit to. And so I wanted to pick a piece like Brahms 1 that was loved and that was respected and would create a platform for them to be in dialogue with me, that I could they would show me as much as I would show them.
And how do you go about showing the orchestra who you are in return?
Well, it happens very naturally. There's no way to predict or explain the alchemy that happens between a conductor and an orchestra. You simply hope that what you have to provide is something that inspires the people in front of you, and vice versa. You hope that you come with a clear enough idea in your head that you can step back and allow what they present to you to be meaningful, that you can take what they give you and fold it organically into the process. If I hear the principal oboist phrase something like I have never heard before, then five bars later, I'll be able to turn the first violins who have the same melody and say, can we phrase it just the way that principal oboe just played it? Because I've never heard it that way. And that way you start to fold the orchestra's opinions and interpretations into the rehearsal process so that by the end you have a fully organic piece of work that was created by everyone into the room, and you're not just trying to impose a certain idea onto anyone. The great thing about the Brahms Symphony especially is that it is chamber music writ large and requires complete dedication and opinions, strong opinions from everybody in the room. And the great joy of doing a piece like this is that I get to sit back and facilitate those opinions and try to make one organic narrative out of all of them.
And beyond the main stage of the orchestra, community engagement is a significant part of what the symphony is and does in this community. So in what ways would you see yourself interacting with the community beyond your presence directly on the stage?
You know, there was a great study that came out 5 or 6 years ago by the Knight Foundation. And one of the main findings was that the music director position is the only CEO-like position in the country where the CEO gets more credit for living anywhere but the town in which they are CEO. And obviously, you know, proximity doesn't necessarily breed intimacy, but I think that what's so important is that the music director is present in the community, is available for dialogue. If we create an event at a concert, and every concert has the potential to be a unique, singular, unrepeatable event with a new collection of pieces, a new conductor, a new soloist, that there is a responsibility from the music director to be there to advocate for it, to stump for it, to find as many opportunities as possible to go into the community and say, this is what we're trying to accomplish. This is what we care passionately about. Here is the narrative that we want to unfold when you come and be a part of this. And to invite people in so that they feel that any experience that they have in the hall is going to be equally valid as anyone else's. So for me to be able to be here, to be able to be a part of to create a dialogue, to receive feedback, to be able to advocate and articulate what it is we're most excited about, what we're passionate about, long before even the first rehearsal starts. That, to me, is an equal part of my job with actually rehearsing and performing the concert. And then to be here afterwards to receive feedback, to hear what worked and what didn't, what was responded to and what wasn't, what people were hungry to hear more of. I think being in the community and being a part of it to receive that feedback is absolutely vital. I grew up in St. Louis when Leonard Slatkin was music director. And this was I lived two blocks from him. I saw him in the grocery store twice a week. And he was somebody who created such an open atmosphere of dialogue that people would always stop him in the frozen food aisle and say, I just loved that Debussy so much. I wasn't really sure about that Stockhausen, but I loved that Debussy. And he would sit there and say, well, this is what we were trying to accomplish. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And he would take the time with, the rice cakes in his hand to really engage in that dialogue with them. And he was accessible and available to anyone because he considered himself as much a part of the community as anybody else. And therefore, he had a responsibility and a joy and took pleasure in finding ways to deepen everyone's experience.
What else is there in your personal and professional background that you would like our audience to know as you introduce yourself to our community?
Well, I grew up in a theater. As I said before, my father was a theater director. My mother was an opera singer. And I think about the theatrical meaning of almost anything that I do. How do we take the audience into consideration? How do we create not just a collection of pieces, but a living organism of an event where I think of curating like a gallery, where it's not about what's on the wall. It's about what's next to the thing on the wall, allowing people to look at two pieces of art and compare and contrast and create a dialogue within themselves for the piece. And so I would want any evening to have a narrative that unfolds. It's like a piece of theater where you think it starts out telling one story and eventually it goes in so many different directions and you get to choose which directions you follow and which ones you consider as we go along. That's the way that I approach all programming and framing an evening. I'm also married to a pretty extraordinary artist, a dancer. She was here for 2 days, and unfortunately she's not here anymore because she is actually the principal featured dancer in the new production of Rosalka at the Met in New York and had to go back for rehearsals. But she was here long enough to get a sense of the community and to let people know that my whole family is really committed to being a part of and enriching the community with all of our energy and love and passion. Other things that I can say, I'm absolutely obsessed with baking. I watched that Great British Bake Off show and I lost my mind. And now I cannot stop baking in the kitchen. Every single day is, a bûche de Noël or a series of cookies. So if I spend any long time here, I will be adding serious poundage to almost everybody that I meet with the amount of sugar and flour that I put into the system.
Well, no matter what happens from here, congratulations on being one of the top three out of the 250 applicants that applied for this job. And thank you so much for coming in.
It's an enormous honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Ryan McAdams, the second of the three finalists to become the next music director and conductor of the Eugene Symphony. On Thursday, January 26th at the Holt Center in Eugene, he'll conduct a program that includes Mozart's Overture to Don Giovanni, Samuel Barber's Piano Concerto, and Brahms' Symphony No. 1. For tickets and information, eugenesymphony.org and haltcenter.org. Also see ryan-mcadams.com. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.